Welcome back to Reflections. Your host, Jorge Gonzalez. And my guest today is Enid Marie Reyes, president of San Juan Rotary. And we've become good friends. We're working hard together to with the Rotary movement in Puerto Rico. And the activities we've had have been really successful, and we're trying different things and all. So, Enid, what I thought, I did have a couple of few areas, but I'm gonna set them aside because I want to have some time, and maybe we can get back to it, to the sporting world and some of the things that are happening. But I want to make sure that the listeners and learn a little bit about you and the things that we're doing and what motivates you, and hopefully what motivates you will motivate them, and we'll have a well-being for all of us. So, Enid, just tell us a little bit about your past, where you were born, siblings, family, and how you developed educationally and professionally, and to bring to where you are now.
Open
mic.
Well, it's been quite the journey. I was born in Puerto Rico. Actually, I was born in what is known today as Cuartel Valleja. Used to be Fort Brooks. My dad was in military a while ago. When I was born, he was a businessman. He had a roofing company, commercial roofing. And so the year I was born, they closed Fort Brooks, 1967. So you know my age.
You really had an impact.
My mom used to say that her bedroom, hospital room, had the view to the ocean. And I think that's why I became a sailor.
Okay.
Because I don't know. I think that maybe gave me a sign since I was a little baby. No, but my dad was 20 years in military. He raised us very strong work ethics. He was like, no matter what you do, do it well. Do it with excellence. Do it with pride. And I think there's a lot of my dad that has influenced who I am now. I remember when I always liked entrepreneurship. So he would, since I was, fourth, like in kindergarten, in the summers, he would take me in his car on the summers and to go see his projects, his buildings where they were doing roofing. And so I had a lot of time, I spent a lot of time with him. But there were some unique times that really impacted my life. I remember one time we were, in the mountains, La Piquina, you remember?
Between Cañete and Salinas.
Curvy road. And there was just this elderly man on the street, beside the street with all these oranges. And he was very elderly. And my dad stopped, and he bought all the oranges. And he says, now he can go home and rest.
How many oranges do you think there were there?
Oh, my gosh. He filled out the whole trunk. And then what he would do.
Yeah, 150 maybe?
Yeah. He bought everything. And he would do that. He would buy bananas. So then he would get back to the office, and all his employees would come after work. And he would share all the goods with the neighbors, with the employees. And so, then there was another occasion where I was really young, and he saw this kid walking without shoes. And I don't know, it's a long time ago, but he had a kind of like a pickup, a Camino car. So he asked the boy to jump in the back part, he took him to buy shoes, and then he took him to school. I think that's when the times you could, go with that. Strangers.
Yeah. Now you would be put in jail,
Yeah. But my dad always reminded me to always try to help and bring change or help the poor, never to forget those who are in greater needs. So I think that really marked my life. I always wanted to be a missionary when I was young. and would preach.
A religious missionary.
Yeah, a religious missionary. I don't know. I think, you know, because Jesus resembled, you know, the goodness and doing good to people. So I always, like, I had dolls and I would put them and speak to them and preach to them, whatever. You know, I was creative in that way when I was little. And so I think I always had that, like, I feel like my life was always about a mission, being missional. And I always wanted to change the world. So everything I did is like, okay, how can I change the world? So I studied communications, and then I studied nonprofit business management.
Where did you study?
I studied in Sagrado Corazon, and then I studied nonprofit business management in Texas.
Okay.
I married at 23, moved to Texas. And actually, we were going to go to Perkins Theology School at SMU, Southern Methodist University. It didn't work out. I don't know. But we landed in Texas, had three children. They're adults now, independent. But I was a stay-at-home mom. And just always, I would carry my kids. I would, like, there was a church we used to go to. And I just said, I need to be useful. So I did their accounting. I wrote books on how to mentor, disciple. So I was very active, and it was all volunteer work.
Okay.
And so I think that, you know, it was in my heart, like, okay, what can I do that is good to bring change, to be this catalyst of change? I think it was always innate in me. And I taught my kids that, like, remember, you know, like, to bring somebody alongside of you, people that need. And so, tragically, I not expected, had a divorce after 18 years of marriage. And I was like, you know, what I'm not very religious, but I would say spiritual. And I was asked God, like, what am I going to do with my life, you know, after being taking care of your kids, being at home? Though I did a lot of projects on human rights, I was able to travel, represent U.S. in some human rights cases in South America. But basically, I was a home mom and took care of the house. Mm-hmm. And so it was so funny because my first job was to, you know, teach relationship skills, conflict resolution, emotional intelligence. So I would say, like, okay, God, you have, like, a great sense of humor. I'm divorcing, and this is what my first job. But it was because they needed, in Texas, Spanish speakers.
Mm-hmm.
So there were many people that can teach the curriculum in English, but few in Spanish. And that was under the grants of George W. Bush.
Okay.
And it was a Healthy Marriage Initiative.
No Child Left Behind.
Like the Healthy Marriage Initiative, how to invest back. And so because I spoke Spanish and well, so I was trained in a lot of curriculums. I even translated the Stephen Covey's material, Seven Habits for Healthy Families. I was certified as a Stephen Covey facilitator. So through that took me on a journey of, I was able to visit, we did classes. These were 16-hour classes. We did it at the SWAT team, all employees of Dallas, government employees, churches, juvenile system, wherever they send me, I went and taught those classes. I even made my kids come to the classes so they could learn and not repeat.
But your employer, or you were on your own, or you?
I was on my own. I was a consultant.
So
yeah,
you've been basically on your own most
of
your life.
Yeah, yeah. I was a facilitator.
Okay.
I was trained to be a facilitator.
Okay.
Which is not the same as teaching, because teaching is like lecturing. Facilitation, which I love, is you help people in this journey so they can discover truth
right.
and truth for themselves, yeah. and then they They own it.
Yeah, you don't tell them what to do.
You
help them learn what they think they should be doing.
And give them skills, because sometimes you're in relationships and you don't know what is healthy, because you lived in such an unhealthy environment that when you learn what is healthy, then you have to make choices. What am I going to do for change? Mm-hmm. So through that, I went to churches that, and places that the husband was the pastor, he was abusing the wife, they were in the brink of divorce, and you're like, wow. But through that, I think that came with the idea or a model. What if we, like, I think of it as three columns, and one is like physical, the second intellectual, and then the third emotional. And if you're religious or spiritual, you can say spiritual. But what the thought came to my mind, if you don't have these three bars, you know, think about like a graphic bar. If you don't have these three bars kind of leveled, you're not going to be a whole person. Because that's what I saw at the churches. Like, they knew the Bible. They could quote it back and forth, but they were abusing their wives. So something in their emotional intelligence was not working. Mm-hmm. So I said, because I'm a visionary, so I'm like, okay, what if we do this model where we address all the needs of these three areas in a community? How could we change a community? So I kept developing it. Was in Rockwell, Texas, after my divorce. And it was interesting. There was a community center that was built there to do some of the work that Ruby Payne, she's an author, like Breaking the Cycle of Poverty. And so I was going to do some consulting work for them and implement that model that I created in that community, that it was mostly immigrants. So long story short, the pastor that was over that project from this 33,000 member church in Rockwell, Texas,
huge church.
Lost his visa, has to leave to Colombia, calls me. He said, would you like my job? You have a pilot. I have a community center and a community where you can put the pilot in. And I'm like, sure.
So you became a pastor almost.
So I am a reverend, actually.
Oh, really?
A Baptist of all means. Southern Baptist, which, anyway, so.
You were converted.
I was. So, but you know, it's like I am very opposed of selling the gospel. I never ask people come to my church. You know, like if they want, yes, but I never helped anybody in exchange of them accepting Christ or becoming a Christian or coming to church. Because I think that stands on its own. You know, I think your work tells people these people care about me. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so I was there 10 years, and what we did was we had people come from universities to study our case. What I did was is we did government, a collaboration with government, churches, nonprofits, community. So I presented the idea, what if we all work together to help this community forward? What would that look like? And when I did speeches, I would make them close their eyes and just say, look at Lake Rockwell Estates. How would you see it moving forward? If it was moving forward.
When you say the community, is this the church community, or this is the town, or
this was a community in Rockwell, Texas. Rockwell, Texas was, now I don't know if it's still now, the smallest county per capita, but the richest. Smallest.
Is outside Dallas, is it?
No, it's kind of northeast Dallas.
Okay.
So there was a very
poor
community.
It is part of Dallas.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, it's Rockwell County.
Yeah, yeah.
Rockwell County. So there was this little community, like maybe I would say 1,500 homes. A lot of the homes were mobile homes. Some mobile homes didn't have plumbing. You know, it was just really dire. You had this rich, rich, wealthy neighborhood or city and county, and then you had this spot.
Right.
So when I got there, there was a lot of talk about bulldozing that because it was very poor. There was prostitution there, drugs. So what we did is we started assessing. There's a my model is like called asset based community development, where you go in a community and you assess their needs, but you assess their assets. Because you don't want them to be dependent on you or government. You want them to be self-sustained.
Right.
So we kind of created a priority list. And like first was education. The school district would say, oh, Hispanics don't care about school or education. And then the people, the residents in that community would say, well, when I go to the school, nobody speaks Spanish. So how can I engage with the school?
Right.
And so I brought them together, like, with town hall meetings. And I was, like, kind of the moderator and the translator. And we started talking about, okay, how do we break these walls down? How do we break the fear of that people would call ICE or immigration? But how can we help the kids? So from that, we built a after-school program. I built a program called Bridge to College for first-generation students. When you have a big church, you have a lot of volunteers. So we had volunteers in those programs. We had medical clinics, dental clinics. We taught the workers how to be as legal as possible and file taxes, get temporary ID numbers, which you can, so you can get a 1099. I would bring in a battery of CPAs in tax season, and they would do the taxes. So it's like, what skills do we give this community so they can stand on their own, like nutrition, just whatever they needed, yeah. We would bring.
And in turn, we're running out of the segment, but when we come back, in terms of the people, you know, the parishioners, they were from the all areas of just that, the more the marginados, you know, they
no, they like were all kinds. All the churches wanted to help, and it was a beautiful, really, really an amazing true collaboration, because we were not focused on if you were Baptist, Methodist, whatever, Catholic. We were just focused on how do we help the community to move forward?
Okay, so we've run out of time in the second segment. You're listening to Enid Mari Reyes, and I'm learning an awful lot, and it's a fantastic story. It's of growth and holistic growth. So this is Jorge Gonzalez, Reflections. We'll be back right after the pause.